You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And good afternoon again, Pittsburgh Steeler fans, and welcome to another edition of Steelers Brunch with Tony, and I am your host, Tony DeFeo. Thank you, as always, for joining me. And before I get started, I just want to, as always, encourage you to subscribe to Behind the Steel Curtain's YouTube channel. We have a plethora of podcasts each and every day. There's the Standard is the Standard. That's our flagship show. There's Steelers Preview. There's Yeah, I Said It. There's the Stat Geek. There's Steelers Q&A every Monday, hosted by yours truly and Brian Anthony Davis. And now we have a new show. It's called Steelers Retro Show, and that airs right after Steelers Q&A. And I'm really looking forward to this week's broadcast, where we're going to be talking about the greatest Steelers defensive players who didn't make the Pro Bowl, the most underrated the most underrated Steelers who did not make the Pro Bowl, if that makes sense. Either way, it's good stuff. You'll really enjoy it. I had a lot of fun with Brian on last Monday's show talking about the greatest offensive players in the modern era that didn't make the Pro Bowl. So I think you're really going to enjoy that. And of course, in the regular season, the Steelers Q&A turns into the Steelers Hangover, where we discuss the previous day's Steelers matchup. So please subscribe to our channel, like our channel, and there's plenty to choose from when it comes to podcasts. And also, I encourage you to check out Behind the Steel Curtain, the website, where we bring you 10 articles each and every day, breaking news, commentary, film breakdown, everything you need. As we like to say, it's your one-stop shop for all your Steelers needs. So please check that out. And I just want to say hi to everybody. There's Dennis Sheridan, Ezra, Sean Manahan, all familiar faces. And I'm so glad that you guys are joining me. Here's a new one, Urban Precious Metals Buyer. I don't know what that means, but it's a mouthful, that's for sure. There's Scripper, Steelers Pittsburgh, Victory Asher. Wow, what a name that is. That sounds like a English football name. I don't know much about that, but it sounds like an English Premier soccer name. And if it doesn't, I'm sorry. I don't know much about soccer. But anyway, today I just like to, as always, share my opinions on a number of topics that mostly have to do with the Steelers perhaps not making the playoffs in 2020. And I know there's a lot of optimism that they're going to make it into the postseason this year after missing the last 2 years, but you just never know, right? I mean, and a lot of things I'm going to discuss are why they might not make the playoffs. A lot of things that we're counting on, like the defense, like Big Ben, injuries, that sort of thing. If those things don't work out, they might not make the playoffs for a third straight year. And I personally think they are going to make the playoffs. I personally think this could be one of their most complete football teams in a number of years. I mean, they have a very talented defense. It looks like it's just hitting its stride. I mean, last year, you know, it's easy to forget that this defense was considered a big question mark heading into last season, right? But then, you know, you add a Devin Bush to the mix, you add a Micah Fitzpatrick, you add a Steven Nelson to an already existing group that included T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, who was hurt last year, but, you know, Javon Hargrave took his place. He's now gone, but Tuitt will be back this year. Bud Dupree, if I miss anybody, I'm sorry, but you know, those two or three players, specifically Micah Fitzpatrick, made that defense so much better. So, if that defense is anywhere near where it was last year, and you add Big Ben to the mix, and if Big Ben's anywhere near what he was prior to his injury last year, then I think this is going to be a very good football team. And you know, you have Juju returning, and he's going to be leading a very talented, in my opinion, young receiving corps. You know, it has question marks. Guys like James Washington and Deontay Johnson, who everybody's excited about. Chase Claypool, the latest addition, their second round draft pick out of Notre Dame. So there's optimism there, and there's optimism with the ground game led by James Conner and Benny Snell Jr., Jalen Samuels, Anthony McFarland, their fourth round pick out of Maryland this year. So there's hope. And then of course the tight end situation looks a lot better with Eric Ebron joining Vance McDonald. And then you have the offensive line, which, you know, has question marks that, you know, right tackle, Zach Banner and Shooks Okorafor are going to be battling out for the right tackle spot. And the plan for 2020 is for Matt Filer to move from right tackle to left guard. We've discussed that before. And hopefully if Banner and Okorafor, hopefully if they rise to the occasion, or if one of those guys rises to the occasion and wins that right tackle spot, then I think you have the chances of having a pretty good offensive line again. You know, Marquise Pouncey struggled last year. There's no question about that. But we don't know if that's because of an injury or because he was missing Ben. And, you know, who knows why he struggled last year. But it wasn't one of his best years. But I think we should be able to expect him to return to close to his prime in 2020, hopefully. He's still a relatively young guy. He's coming into, his 11th year. So, you know, if Pouncey returns to form, if Big Al returns to form, he kind of struggled last year. DeCastro is probably their best player on the line now, I would say, him or Filer at this point. So if somebody can if their offensive line returns to form and Ben is back to normal, more close to it, this could really be a good team. But as I'm about to get into, there are a number of reasons why they could miss the playoffs again. And the number one reason, not number one, but the first thing I'm going to talk about is that maybe as good as they might be, maybe there are so many teams in the league that are more complete than they are and better than they are, regardless of how good their defense is and how healthy Ben Roethlisberger is and how effective he is in 2020. Sometimes, you know, it's a cyclical league. It's a parity league. And sometimes, you know, other teams just pass you by. I mean, look at the AFC champion, or I'm sorry, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, right? They're it looks like we finally got rid of the Patriots as the boogeyman for the Steelers and other teams in the NFL. And now the Chiefs look like the far and away the best team in the NFL, led by Patrick Mahomes, the former MVP and the reigning Super Bowl MVP, the face of the league. He just signed $500 million contract, $450 million, something like that, you know, big money. So, you know, they're going to be a formidable foe for a long time. They have probably the best offense in the NFL. So, you know, they look like they're heading for the number one seed once again in the AFC. And of course, the Ravens, they're the two-time defending AFC North champions. And it looks like they got a lot better in the offseason. They added Calais Campbell. They drafted Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU. Looks like a typical Ravens draft pick. Like, he fits a need perfectly for them. They went out and drafted J.K. Dobbins in the second round, running back out of Ohio State. A lot of Steelers fans thought that they should have picked him. They had a chance to, and they passed on him for Claypool. So, you know, they got a lot better. And of course, they had the reigning NFL MVP and Lamar Jackson returning coming into his third season. And, you know, his major strength obviously is running the football, right? I mean, he's proven that over the first 2 years in the NFL. The only question about him is, can he up his game in the passing department? You know, can he become a better passer? Can he add that to his toolkit? You know, you've already seen it on some occasions over his first 2 years, but certainly not on a consistent basis. and certainly not at all in the playoffs. I mean, he's really struggled. He's really been exposed the last 2 years in the playoffs. You know, the Ravens have been one and done each year, but if he puts that part of his game together, then, I mean, the Steelers are going to be playing catch up for a number of years, it looks like, you know. And then you talk about the Browns. One of these days they're going to put it all together. I mean, they have all the talent in the world on paper. They just got a new head coach. One of these days they're going to learn how to win. You know, they have Baker Mayfield, Myles Garrett, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have a lot of star power on that team right now. So if they can put it all together, Steelers might be playing not just catch up, but they might be going for third place in the AFC North, you know. And then you got to talk about the other teams in the AFC, like the Broncos with Drew Locke. They might take a step forward this year. The Bills, who proved to be a pretty formidable foe last year, they came into Heinz Field and beat the Steelers. They're led by Josh Allen. They have a great defense. So, you know, just because the Steelers might be better this year than they were last year with the addition of Ben, that doesn't mean that they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I realize there are now seven spots instead of six, but, holy cow, I forgot about another team, the Tennessee Titans. You know, here's a team that just barely snuck into the playoffs. They basically took the number six seed from the Steelers down the stretch. But I mean, they have a decent quarterback. They have in Ryan Tannehill. They have right now you would guess the best running back in the NFL in Derrick Henry. So, you know, that's a pretty good football team too. You know, and the Texans. You know, they're going to be battling out with the Texans for AFC South supremacy. And you know, the loser of that race figures to contend for one of those three wildcard spots. So there's going to be a lot of teams vying for the postseason this year. So just because the Steelers are better doesn't mean they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs based on the competition they're going to have to face in the AFC. So that's the first reason why they might not make the playoffs in 2020. The second reason is too many distractions from the pandemic. I mean, we already know that they have moved training camp from St. Vincent College in La Trobe to Heinz Field. That might not seem like a big deal to you, and maybe it's not, but you know, coaches and players, athletes, they're creatures of habit. They like their routine, right? They're used to their doing things a certain way each and every year. So if you switch things up because of, you know, things that are out of their control, like the pandemic, like the protocols and that have been put in place, you know, that could affect them, right? You know, how many of these guys are once the whistle blows, are going to completely forget about, you know, the ongoing pandemic, the, you know, catching, possibly contracting COVID-19 from playing football? How many of them are going to forget about it? How many of them are going to have that in the back of their minds, right? How many of them are going to be thinking about this while they're trying to play? You know, furthermore, how many of these guys are going to opt out? Because I think the players are they've either agreed to that or they're trying to get that in writing, that players could be allowed to opt out of the 2020 season, you know, for health reasons that have to do with COVID-19. So what if a star player opts out, right? Or what if a star player comes down with this virus? You know, maybe he doesn't have symptoms, maybe he's not sick, but if he tests positive and has to miss a couple of games, that could be a big deal. And what if more than one player from a specific unit, linebacking corps, you know, what if both TJ Watt and Bud Dupree test positive and have to miss a couple of weeks? That could be a very big deal, right? So, you know, I've written in the past that I think if any head coach is equipped to help his team through a time like this, it's Mike Tomlin, because he's brought them through some tough times in the past, and he's never lost his football team. You could say a lot of things about Mike Tomlin through his first 13 years as a head coach, but he's never lost one of his teams. Never. I mean, Ben, through all the times, one of his star players was suspended or injured. You know, last year with Ben, losing him in the second week, he never lost his team. But this is a whole new world for everybody, right? I mean, there are football problems, and then there are these kind of problems. And it's going to be interesting to see how each and every team handles it. And not to mention those kind of distractions where you could have players thinking about this disease and catching this disease, coming down with this disease, and it costing them playing time. But what about the whole idea of not playing games in empty stadiums? How is that going to change the intensity of these games, right? I mean, you know, football is a very violent sport. It's a very intense sport. And if you've ever seen some of these pregame rituals these players go through, I mean, they rely on emotion to get them through these games, right? I mean, they're out there going 110 miles an hour, banging into each other. These are, you know, they're enduring small car crashes dozens of times each and every game. And, you know, it would seem to me that having the crowd behind you or having the crowd against you is a really great adrenaline rush that helps these guys get through a game and get through a season. You know, like say you get through, say you're at week 7 or week 8, week 9, somewhere, you know, late in the year, and you know, you have to go out and play a game in an empty stadium. You know, are you going to have the intensity, whether it's at home or away, are you going to have the intensity to get through that game? Maybe, you know, without the crowd behind you or again against you, those bumps and bruises, those nagging injuries, you notice them a little bit more, you feel them a little bit more, you know. So again, there are any number of distractions that could, you know, from this pandemic that could cause a football team to act in a manner that it normally wouldn't act, you know, act in a way that it normally wouldn't, you know, in a normal year. So, you know, just because Mike Tomlin is very good at getting through tough times, and I think he's proven that a number of times throughout his career, doesn't mean he's going to be able to pull the right strings this year and get his football team through a season that's going to be unlike any other in the history of the NFL. So that's another reason another thing that could prevent the Steelers from making the playoffs is distractions from this pandemic. So that's number two. And number three is a regression of the Steelers defense. You know, I know it seems impossible at this moment to think that the Steelers defense could regress, right? Because it seems like it's just getting started. And it's a young unit. It has stars at just about every position now. I mean, there's, you know, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, TJ Budd, Devin Bush now. Vince Williams is a really capable player at inside linebacker. Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson, Minka, you know, so there are stars everywhere. But, you know, and again, it seems like they're just getting started and they have a number of years ahead of them before they start to regress. But you just never know. I mean, you know, one thing about coaches, coordinators, head coaches, etc., they're always looking for ways to exploit an opponent. They're always looking for ways to find an opponent's weakness, right? They never stop until they find it, right? If you remember the early 2000s in the Steelers' dominant defense, what was it taken out by? It was taken out by the Cincinnati Bengals. And who was their head coach at that time? I'm talking about 01. Dick LeBeau. He was in between stints as the Steelers defensive coordinator, but in that short time, he figured out a way to stymie the Steelers pass rush, and that was to spread everybody out and get rid of the ball quickly. And the Bengals did that, and even though they were having a bad year, they beat the Steelers at the end of the year. The Steelers were a lot of teams in 2002 picked up on that. Obviously, most famously, the Patriots, you know, they barely even tried to run the ball against the Steelers in week one of that year, blew them out. I was at the week two game in Heinz Field against the Raiders, Rich Gannon. I think he threw like 150 passes, all about 2 yards. And they just had no answer for the Raiders that whole night, right? They lost that game too. So, and that continued all throughout the year and ultimately cost them in the playoffs. They just could not get off the field on third down. And this was a really good defense. This was a really good defense led by guys like Joey Porter and Jason Gilden and et cetera, et cetera. It was a really good defense. Casey Hampton, that's the name I was missing. So it was a really good defense, really capable defense, but the opponents found its weakness and it took that defense a while to recover it, to fight back. And ultimately it did, but 2002 was a big struggle. Even in 2001, it was maybe the best defense in the NFL. 02, not so much. So that's certain players, just because they're Pro Bowlers and all pro players like a TJ Watt, maybe TJ Watt has a down year for him, not for a mere mortal, but for him, maybe he has a down year. Maybe he gets, instead of 14 and a half sacks, maybe he gets 9. Maybe Bud gets 8, right? Maybe they don't take the football away at the same pace that they did last year, which was about 2.2 times a game. They had 38 takeaways last year. As somebody pointed out on Behind the Steel Curtain, I think it was Al Rocco, the last 10 years that a team has led the league in turnovers, the following year they regressed. I think he said they had 12.5 less takeaways the following year, which would still be a pretty good amount for them, right? I mean, if you go from 38 to say 28 or 26, that's not a bad. That's a healthy number of takeaways, right? You know, as long as they don't regress to the average of 19, which is what they were putting up for about almost a decade prior to 2019. I think that was their average from like 2012, 2011 through 2018. They were averaging like 19 takeaways a year, which is not going to get it done. I don't see that happening. I don't see them regressing in the takeaway department. I don't see them regressing in sacks, but you never know. You never know. I mean, the 85 Bears, one moment they were the greatest defense ever. You know, they seemed impossible to stop. And then within a couple of years, they were still a pretty good defense, but they were exposed and they never won another title. So that's a third reason that could keep them. I think that's one big thing that the Steelers fans are counting on, including me, is the Steelers defense being just every bit as dominant as it was last year. And last year, in a lot of ways, you know, you look at some of the takeaways like that, like the Rams game, the touchdown that Micah scored. I mean, that was like 50-50 incomplete pass, but it was ruled a fumble. He picked it up. He took it back for a score, and that proved to be the difference for them in winning that game. It was like a 5-point game, you know. If that's ruled an incomplete pass, who knows how that game turns out, right? You know, there were a number of occurrences like that last year that could have gone either way, right? You know, so a lot of people think that takeaways are a matter of luck, and I guess there's a degree of truth to that. I mean, the ball bounces a certain way. You just never know. I still think it's going to be a capable defense. I still think, in my opinion, takeaways are a matter of you know, lining your roster with playmakers. And I think the Steelers have plenty of those now, led by TJ Watt and Micah Fitzpatrick. But you never know. From one year to the next, it seems to me there's no correlation. There's no consistency with takeaways, at least not in today's NFL. And you know, many years ago, before the West Coast offense and things of that nature, it seemed like turnovers and takeaways were more consistent than they are now, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to rack up 30 plus takeaways year after year. So a regression in defense of the defense could be another factor that keeps them from making the playoffs.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
And of course, that leads me to my next example, excuse me, which would be an injury on defense, you know, to TJ Watt, to a Bud Dupree, to a Cam Hayward, to a Joe Haden. You know, there are a lot of stars among the starters on that defense, and I just named a lot of them, right? But I think we knew going into the offseason, we knew going into free agency in the draft that they were thin at just about every position, not just on defense, but you know, the entire team. But I'm focusing on the defense since that's considered one of the, you know, that's considered the strength of the team now, defense. You know, and as we discussed before, if TJ Watt gets hurt, who's gonna fill in for him? And will he be effective? I mean, right now, you know, there's three unproven guys. There's, of course, Alex Highsmith, who's a rookie, totally unproven. And, of course, Tuzar Skipper and Ola Adeniyi, two guys that have had exciting stretches in the preseason, but they haven't really done a whole heck of a lot in the regular season at this point. So, you know, if one of the outside linebackers goes down, you know, that could spell trouble for the defense, certainly for the pass rush, right? Even the defensive line, which I think is the deepest part of their defense. You know, you don't have Javon Hargrave anymore. I mean, you have two really, you know, Pro Bowl level players in Cam Hayward and Tuitt. But if one of those guys goes down, I mean, you have Tyson Alualu, who's a capable veteran, really, really good veteran. Somebody you could trust for a game or two or three, but for an entire season, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'd do a good job, but he won't. He probably won't be nearly as effective as a Hayward or a Tuitt, you know. And of course, we know about the how thin they are at safety. You have Jordan Dangerfield, who did a great interview last week in this time slot a week ago, but. You know, he's basically a backup and mostly a special teams player. So if he has to play a lot of snaps as a starter, that could be trouble for the defense, especially if he's replacing a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick, who is your all-pro level starter. So you go from an all-pro level guy to a guy like Jordan Dangerfield, you know, that you know, and then of course you have Antoine Brooks, who's a rookie, sixth-round pick, totally unproven. You're even pretty thin at cornerback behind Joe Haden and Steven Nelson. You have Cam Sutton, who's been around for a few years. You would think by this point he'd be able to fill in, and maybe he could for a couple games, but how would he do for an entire season? You know, and would you have to move Mike Hilton into one of those starting spots? I mean, he's a smaller guy, 5'9". Is he capable of playing on the outside for a full season or even for a few games? Where's Justin Lane at in his development, right? So, you know, even if this defense is every bit as dominant as it was last year, meaning the, you know, from 1 through 11 and maybe a couple of the backups, what happens if a big time starter goes down? If you have a major loss, you know, I don't think this defense would totally fall off the table, right? I think there's just too much talent there for that to happen. It's not going to be like 2017 when Ryan Shazier was unfortunately lost late in the year with that devastating spinal injury. I don't think you're gonna the defense wouldn't be exposed like that. But without a TJ Watt, without a Minka, without even a Bud Dupree or somebody like that, Joe Haden, you know, if this defense lost one of these guys, I mean, you know, it's not going to be nearly as effective, I don't think. So, and it would be ripe for the picking as far as being able to, you know, exploit certain areas. So. That's a fourth reason. And of course, maybe the biggest reason that they don't make the playoffs this year would be the performance of Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm not talking about an injury. I think that goes without saying. If Big Ben goes down again, they're going to be in trouble, you know, like they were last year. You know, I think a lot of people will agree that it was kind of a miracle that they stayed in the race as long as they did without Ben in there. So if he goes down, it's probably not even going to be that good this year. But although I shouldn't say that, I don't want to talk myself into a corner because I've been such a big Mason Rudolph backer. Hopefully he takes a big leap. But, you know, that's for a conversation for another day or maybe in a few minutes when I take questions. But let's say Ben is healthy, right? Let's say he's 100% healthy. His elbow feels great, but he just doesn't have his fastball anymore. You know, it's been known to happen, right? You know, you get to be a certain age and you just fall off a cliff. in terms of your talent. Whatever made him special, you know, for a decade and a half. I mean, you know, when it comes to a Hall of Fame player and a guy who's just an ordinary player, sometimes all it takes is losing 10 or 15% of your abilities, of your talents. And that's all you need to just be a regular Joe, right? So what if he struggles all year and never quite puts it together? Let's say his interceptions were up for a few years there prior to last year. I think there's no question interceptions for Ben have been a problem dating back to midway through the 2015 season when he came back from his MCL sprain, right? So if that's a problem again this year, I mean, are they going to take him out if he's healthy? Probably not. I mean, how can you take your best player out, especially somebody you're going to be paying $33 million, right? So, you know, it could be one of those years where the fans might be calling for Ben to be replaced, but they're certainly not going to do that if there's no reason to health-wise. So if Ben is old Ben instead of big Ben, and, you know, it's pretty obvious that he's lost his special talents, that could be another reason why they don't make the playoffs. So those are five, I think, you know, pretty tangible reasons why they may not make the playoffs. And if they're having struggles in any number of those areas, you know, you could be looking at another year where they go into week 17, you know, at 9-6 or 8-7, needing help to get in. And as we've seen the last 2 years, that help probably won't be forthcoming. So those are my five major topics of today. And I also have a bonus topic, thanks to the very popular Bud Dupree. And I say that facetiously because he's not a very popular player, it would seem, with a lot of Steeler fans. And it was reported yesterday that Dupree, who signed his franchise tag, I guess back at the end of April, or he was, I think that's when he signed it. Either way, he signed it. And, you know, he's going to play in 2020, regardless of whether he makes him and the Steelers come to an agreement or not, he's going to play in 2020. The question is, will he be playing for $15.8 million or $17.8 million? Because he filed a grievance with the union to be designated as a defensive end instead of an outside linebacker, because I don't know how this works, but certain positions are deemed more premium than others, and defensive end is considered a more premium position in the NFL than outside linebacker. And if you get this, if you get franchise tagged as a defensive end, you make more money. So I guess it's not an unprecedented move by Dupree and his agent, Shaq Barrett of the Buccaneers. He's also doing that, you know, so it's not an unprecedented move, and it's probably like a small Hail Mary, you know. If that's in the language of the CBA, why not go for it? And a lot of fans, from what I read yesterday in the comments section of the article that was posted on Behind the Steel Curtain, a lot of fans didn't like it. And they kind of, you know, again, Bunt's not the most popular guy as it is, for whatever reason, I guess, because he didn't live up to his first round status over the first 4 years. And he finally had a breakout year last year. And a lot of people think that it was because it was a contract year, so he could just, you know, flip a switch, which, if it were only that easy, right? If it were only that easy, why wouldn't he have done that his first year? But that's what a lot of people think. And my opinion about that is, who cares? Who cares if Bud Dupree's gone after another $2 million? He's not going to hold out. I think that's pretty obvious right now. If there was a danger of him holding out, he wouldn't have signed a tag, right? You know, if he was really concerned, you know, about a long-term deal and not playing until he got one, then he wouldn't have signed his tag, a la Le'Veon Bell 2 years ago, and you know, when he held out all of 2018. So he's going to play this year. It's just a matter of, will he win this grievance or not? And as far as I'm concerned, that's between him and the Steelers. I think when it comes to the fans, our biggest concern is the guy show up? Is he playing once the season starts? And if he's not, then we can get angry. But, you know, this stuff's always going to be going on in the NFL and in sports in general, because it's a business, right? It's a business. And And, you know, people are naturally going to try to get as much money as they can while they can. And if there's an opportunity to earn extra money, you know, you have to try to do it, I guess. Right. I'm a perfect example of that. You know, a few weeks ago, my car broke down. I didn't have roadside assistance, but I called my insurance company because I heard that they might be able to reimburse me after the fact for my tow. You know, I had my car towed. It was a couple hundred bucks, you know, and I didn't have roadside assistance, so it's on me, right? Why should I get reimbursed for that? But, you know, according to the language of my insurance agreement, I might be able to get reimbursed. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But you know, is it ethical for me to try to do that? I don't know, but I'm trying. So we'll see what happens. So, you know, am I a bad guy? You know, don't answer that question. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I don't think Bud Dupree's a bad guy for trying to go after an extra couple $1 million. 15.8, 17.8, what's the difference? It's a lot of money. And he's certainly not going to hold out just because he didn't get that extra $2 million. He's going to play, and he's an important member of the defense. So the word is that he and the Steelers are still far away on a long-term deal, which I think none of us should be shocked by that, because, you know, if he's going to want a contract worth 15, 16, 17 million a year over 4 or 5 years, well, you know, the Steelers have to pay TJ Watt, and he's probably going to want 20 million a year. Are you going to tie that much money up into one position? We've talked about that before. And you have Juju, you have Cam Hayward, you have Minka coming up. So I think the possibility of signing Bud Dupree to a long-term deal was always a bit far-fetched. You know, I think a lot of people, including me, hoped it would happen, because I think he's a really gifted athlete, and I think he's still really young, and I think he's just coming into his own. And I think a lot of his problems over his first 4 years had to do with coaching. He was coached directly by Keith Butler last year, who assumed duties as the outside linebackers coach after Joey Porter was let go. So it looks like he's coming into his own, and he's coming into his prime. So, it's a shame that he's probably going to leave after this year, but he's still going to be here for one more year. So we should be happy about that. And, you know, again, whether he's making 17.8 or 15.8, what difference does it make? It doesn't really affect the fans. It's between them, you know. So those are the topics I wanted to cover today. And now I'll open up some questions. So hopefully I was enlightening, and hopefully I didn't talk too fast, you know. So I hope you enjoyed what I had to say, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you hate me, but maybe it was entertaining nonetheless. So let's see what you have to say. See if I can find some really good questions.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Here's one from Rhino Tool. It's really not a question, it's a comment. Ben's cap hit next season is going to hurt. Yeah, well, that's a very, very good point. I mean, you know, it's a reality with most teams that have franchise quarterbacks. You know, we saw it back in 2012 with Joe Flacco, who he was a borderline franchise quarterback, but he had his best stretch at just the right time, and he did just what he needed to do. You know, he was a free agent. He had the playoff run of his life, 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. The Ravens won the Super Bowl, and he cashed in. And you saw that, you know, the Ravens struggled after that. They struggled to make the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl. They struggled for 5 or 6 years. You know, people forget that up until a couple of years ago, midway through the 2018 season, John Harbaugh was in danger of losing his job. I mean, people, you know, they I've seen Harbaugh listed as the third best head coach and Mike Tomlin seventh in some recent ranking. I forget who, CBS Sports or somebody did that. But, you know, Harbaugh, just 2 years ago, he was in danger of being fired. Now he's the third greatest head coach in the NFL. Why? Because they got rid of Flacco. They put Lamar Jackson in. They freed up some cap space, and now they're able to take advantage of the NFL system. Whereas the Steelers are still dealing with the realities of having a franchise quarterback on the books. And you know, you see it in Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay won their Super Bowl 10 years ago, you know, and they've been contenders. Like the Steelers have mostly been contenders, but they haven't been able to get over the top because they haven't been able to put a complete team together behind Aaron Rodgers because they don't have the resources for that. Same with the Saints, with Drew Brees. They won in 09. Drew Brees has gotten paid over and over again, right? But the Saints have been contenders, but they haven't really been back to another Super Bowl. You know, some say they should have 2 years ago, and they were screwed out of it, but still, they didn't get there. You know, and the Chiefs are probably going to find out the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. I've read, I think it was Flip Fisher wrote an article. Maybe it was Shannon White. Maybe it was Dave. I forget. You know, there's so many people on our site that do a great job on a daily basis. But they mentioned how the Chiefs are still in better cap shape than the Steelers, even after Mahomes signed his mega deal for, what was it, 10 years, $450 million, whatever it is. But that's, you know, they're going to, you know, if Patrick Mahomes plays 10 years, if he fulfills that contract, then why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he get into the very heart of that deal before he loses his skill set? I mean, you know, they're not going to get rid of him in 10 years if he's still an effective player. So, you know, once he gets into the meat of his contract, it's going to be hard for the Chiefs to put a roster together. So, you know, it's just the reality of it. So that's a good point. It's going to be a big deal for the Steelers next year, but that's just the reality of it. You know, it's like what Terry Bradshaw said about franchise quarterbacks. You can lose with me, but you can't win without me. And when you have a guy like that, you just have to pay. You have to pay the freight to keep him. That's just until he either retires or just is washed up. That's just how it goes. Let's see here. What else we have here? See if I can find some old. As I've been rambling on the last 45 minutes or 40 minutes. Wow, it seems like longer than that. Let's see. Here's one from Ezra from a while ago. Oh, wait a minute. No, he's asking somebody else. I'm sorry. I broke into a private conversation. Shame on me. Let's see some new comments down here. Yeah, here's another good point from Ryan O'Toole that was discussed on the site. Maybe Bud's agent is one that came up with the grievance idea. I'm sure he was. I mean, these guys are paid to look for stuff like that. And again, if you're an agent and you're not trying to get every last cent that you can for your client, then you're not doing your job. So, you know, I mean, we could be angry at Bud Dupree. I'm not. Again, you know, as long as they show up and play, I really don't care. You know, it's between them and the Steelers. It's a couple million, and yeah, you know, it could hurt the cap, I guess. But at this point, it's $2 million, and he's probably not going to win the grievance anyway. So, you know, who really cares? You know, I certainly don't. Let's see. Here's one from Explore Your World 2019. Montana, Joe Montana, the famous quarterback for the 49ers, won all four Super Bowls he played in, and I'm not even sure if he ever had an interception in the playoffs in his entire career. Yeah, he was a machine. He was a machine. In my money, he's one of the top one or two quarterbacks who ever lived. But then again, I watched him as a kid, so I think we tend to look at those the guys that we watch as youngsters more fondly than when we get a little older and more cynical. But you know, if I had to pick one quarterback to lead my team on a last-minute drive in an important game, Joe Montana would be on my short list of guys that I would consider, because I think he was, you know, they called him Joe Cool for a reason. And here's a $5 super chat question from who I call our Robin Masters of the BTSC podcast family, because he's always donating big bucks. I think he's I think he might, maybe he's a very wealthy novelist like Robin Masters. I'm talking about the guy from Magnum PI, of course. Anyway, here's the question, and thank you for the donations, Snowman. Do you think Bud Dupree will be a Steeler next year? I do not. I was holding out hope, but after what I read yesterday, not so much the grievance, but the fact that he and the Steelers are not close to a long-term deal, and they only have till July 15th to reach a long-term deal before they have to wait until the offseason to negotiate again. No, I don't think he's going to. And I really didn't anyway. I mean, it was more like a pipe dream on my end. I really didn't think that he would ever be a Steeler long-term, because you can't tie up so much money in one position. Not when they have so many other players that they have to address, you know. And I think that's why Alex Highsmith's development this year is going to be crucial. You know, if he shows if he shows anything this year, thing in his rookie year, any natural ability as a pass rusher, anything that they can build on, I think the Steelers are going to be pretty hopeful that he can jump in next year and take Bud's place and hopefully become a better, you know, become a very good outside linebacker opposite of TJ Watt, because it's going to be TJ Watt and a lower priced guy from here on out. I think that's just the reality of it. Let's see, what is this here? Let's see. Rhino Tome, Magnum PI remake is really good, but the original, the original was better, you know, but that's just the reality of TV. I mean, the reboots are never as good as the original, because we kind of know what, you know, we kind of already know the essence of Magnum PI, right? And you know, it's you know, for that, for its time, Magnum PI was pretty innovative. Snowman, Montana is my top five of all time quarterbacks. Yeah, I think, you know, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, you have to throw in Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Bradshaw for winning four Super Bowls, Otto Graham made it to 10 championship games, Johnny Unitas. I mean, I can go on and on. You know, it's a fun debate to have. Jim Kelly, who never won one, but he made it to four Super Bowls, which is no easy thing to do. John Elway, I mean, Ben, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks that you can name. Warren Moon. I can go on and on and on and on and on, you know. But Montana, it's hard to keep Montana out of the top five. I think he was an absolute machine and maybe the greatest playoff quarterback I've ever seen in my life. You know, he was fantastic. Let's see here. I think I'll take one or two more and then I will call it a weekend. Here's Ezra calling me out. I have to address this. I read your article of the Cowboys. What he's referring to is teams that I root for besides the Steelers. Not big time. Like, I don't go crazy and jump up and down if they win or lose. I just appreciate their history. And the Cowboys are a team that I just can't help it. I've always enjoyed their history. I respect, especially what they were able to do in the late 60s through the 70s into the early 80s. And that's why, one of the reasons why the Ice Bowl is my favorite non-Steelers game of all time. And I'm going to write an article about this and probably do a show about this someday. I mean, here's a game that, you know, two teams were at a crossroads. You know, the Packers were basically at the end of the road in terms of their 1960s dynasty. And, you know, the Ice Bowl, as you know, was played in minus 13 degree temperatures. And the Packers needed every little bit of an advantage, I think, to win that game. And you know, they probably forced their will onto the Cowboys. They imposed their will. That's the word I'm looking for. They imposed their will. They were champions, and they knew what it took to get it done. And that little bit of edge at the end of the game was enough. And the Cowboys, why I find them so fascinating is because, number one, I mean, they came close so many times. I mean, they lost back-to-back heartbreakers to the Packers in the NFL championship game in the late 60s. They lost a couple years in a row in the playoffs to the Browns after that. And the Browns were a good team back then. It wasn't an embarrassment back then to lose to the Browns in the playoffs. And then they lost Super Bowl V to the Colts, and they were clearly the much better team in that game. They had no business losing that game. You know, you see the famous image at the end of that game. Bob Lilly, the legendary defensive end, throwing his helmet up in the air, like 50 yards up in the air, it seemed, after the Colts kicked the game-winning field goal. And, you know, a lot of teams throughout history, when they have a run like the Cowboys and they get close time and time again, they keep losing, eventually their window closes and they're just, you know, look at the Bills, look at the Vikings. There's so many teams out there. Look at the 80s Browns, right? They come close time and time again, and they just don't get over the hump, and then their window closes and they're never heard from again. Excuse me. But the Cowboys, they just kept fighting, and they eventually got over the hump, and they were a force for two decades. And, you know, people talk about the 74 draft with the Steelers, four Hall of Famers, but the Cowboys 75 draft, they call it the Dirty Dozen because 12 players from that draft class made the squad, you know, including Randy White and Hollywood Henderson. And that's how the Cowboys were like, they had a nice decade long run up to that point. And, you know, they were probably about ready to fall off. And then they had that great draft in 75, and it spurred them on for another 7 or 8 years. So that's why I just like their history. You know, don't worry when it comes down to the Steelers and the Cowboys. The Steelers are up here and the Cowboys are way down here. But I just appreciate the Cowboys' history. And I just love watching old Cowboys games. I'm sorry. I can't help it. You know, you can put me on trial, I guess, you know, in Steeler Nation. We'll see what happens. But that's pretty much it for today. And I appreciate everybody joining me. And hopefully I didn't make enemies for life with my Cowboys rant. But it was a fun show. And I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again on Monday with Brian. So stay tuned to Steelers Q&A at 5 o'clock on Monday. That's going to be a fun night because we're going to do that show. And again, we're going to do the retro show. So you guys all have a great day and a great weekend, and talk to you soon.